26 right now.
Okay, so today we will be starting the fourth parak. Fourth parak starts with a Mishnah that we might be somewhat familiar from. It's referencing a Mishnah that we've seen possibly, well, we have seen parts of it at least, in Megillah. There's a series of Ein Bains in Megillah, so this is one of those Ein Bains. Our Mishnah adds on a couple other halachos, but we'll see.
Good morning.
Ein Bain, Hamoder Hano Mechavero, Lemoder Hemenu Macho. There's no difference between someone who makes a nether not to derive benefit from his friend to someone who makes a nether not to derive a food benefit from his friend, not to benefit from the food of his friend. Ella, what is the only difference? Drisas Haregel, trespassing through his property. The Kalim She'ein Osim Behem Ochel Nefesh, and types of utensils that one would not use for in the food preparation. So those types of things would be permitted to one who made a nether not to receive food benefit from his friend. However, one who made a nether not to receive standard hana, just general hana from his friend, so these would be considered to be benefits from his friend, walking through his property, using utensils that are not used in food preparation. So those are considered to be a benefit, but they're not considered to be a food benefit. So therefore, there would be a distinction between one who is mudr hana and one who is mudr heimenu macho. Starting from the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. Hamudr macho mechavero, if a person did make a nether not to receive food benefit from his friend, lo, and the Mishnah here is building on or adding on to what it said earlier, lo yashilenu napa v'kavra v'rechayim v'taner. So he may not borrow from his friend a napa, this different types of sieves, v'rechayim, and like a millstone, v'taner, and an oven. So those things are involved in food preparation. So therefore, a person would not be allowed to derive. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what is the Mishnah adding.
It's obvious. He's borrowing it for his own food. Well, he's not going to get his neighbor's food from it.
Well, we're not sure what he meant. Again?
He's borrowing these things to make his own food.
Correct.
So he's not benefiting from his neighbor's food, so why shouldn't he use the retail?
The Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is going to explain what was his intention when he said, I'm not benefiting from your food. Does he mean just your food, or does he mean things that are involved in preparing food or things that result? We're going to see things that are even more removed from the actual food that are nevertheless possibly going to be usher. If you look actually in the Ron for a second, he says, Lo Yashilenu, the third Ron, seven, 8 lines down in the Ron, Lo Yashilenu Napa V'Kavra V'Rechayim V'Taner, Ishrich L'Misni Hani, it was necessary for the Mishnah to include these items, so that we wouldn't think when we said that Kalim, the Mishnah over here before said Kalim she'ein osamem ochel nefesh would be something that you would be allowed to borrow from someone who made a nether not to receive food benefit, but Kalim that you did make ochel nefesh for would be aser. So you would have thought, lo tesla gadaitan deki amr dekalim shosimam ochel nefesh asiri, those types of utensils that are used to prepare ochel nefesh are aser. Nami bubudr machal, hanimila kidero shemavashlamo, maybe that's only referring to things that are actually involved in the actual cooking of the food, but not necessarily things that are involved in preparing of the food, hanimil keder shemavashimba inamish futsh solimba, or a spit which you're roasting on, avalhani gorim de gorim. So these are really two steps removed from the actual ingestion of the food. The Rush actually spells that out a little bit more. He says because after you've used these utensils, the food is not readily available to eat yet. Anyways, you still have to go through another process. So maybe you would have thought that those would not necessarily have been things that were usher. Comes along the Mishnah and says no, because they ultimately do result in food consumption. So those are going to be aser for the mudr mimena machal, again, someone who makes a nether not to receive food benefit. Okay, avol, the last line in the Mishnah, avol mashalo choluk v'tabas v'talas v'nezamim. Even though you may not borrow these types of items, the items that are involved in food preparation, you may borrow from the person who says that I will not derive food benefit, you may borrow his choluk, his cloak, his tabas, his ring, v'talas, another type of some sort of shawl, unazamim and a nose ring. And the Gemara is going to explain like what are these things, because it seems to be choosing things that have nothing to do with food benefit, and it seems to be obvious that you'd be allowed to borrow those types of things. Those have nothing to do with food at all. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that's referring to. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Saman Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Ran says, Man Tana, the five lines up in the Ran from the bottom, Man Tana demuder hana aser bedrishas haregel. Who's the Tana that holds that when a person makes a nether not to receive hana from his friend, then even drishas haregel, even walking through his field, which doesn't seem to be any real benefit, typically people did not care. I guess they didn't have manicured lawns. Typically people did not, you could always, you know, sometimes when you walk through neighborhoods, you could always see the person who's not Jewish has like this perfectly manicured lawn. Everyone else has strollers and car seats and who knows, things strewn all over the lawn and toys, whatever it is. So the Mudr Hana, so who's the Tana of our Mishnah that holds that even this type of Hana, where people don't really seem to care about, that still that's Aser. So Mantana, Amar Avad, the Gemara continues, Amar Avad Bar Ava, Rabbi Eliezer hi. The Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we have a brisa that says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu Vitor, Aser b'mudr hana. Even Vitors, adding on the storekeepers or people that were involved in sales would often add on a gratuity to it's like a baker's dozen almost. They would add on so always a little extra to the person that they were selling to. And that was not something that they were mopped on. That was something that they would give over to anyone else. And that even though that's something that everyone gives over, so you would think that the person receiving it is not really benefiting from you in particular, because it's something that people don't really care about. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer holds that is considered to be a hana, and therefore, if a person made a nether not to receive benefit from someone, you would not be allowed to take that extra amount that he gives over to you, because he essentially, meaning what you pay for, you're obviously allowed to take because you're not receiving benefit from him, you're just in an interaction. But anything above that, beyond that, the gratuity, the extra that the person throws in, so that you would be considered to be receiving hana from him, and you would not be allowed to take that. If you look at the Ran quickly, I'm sorry, just one last Ran over here. He says, Afilu Vitor, three lines up from the bottom Ran on the page. He says, Masha Darkin Shemochin Levater Lochim, that which the Mocher typically will just give over to the Lokeach, just extra Shemosifin Lehem, that they add on Kishalochim Peros. When they buy one or two peros, or they give them an extra one or two peros, afilo osuvitor, even that extra amount, aser b'mudr hana, mudr hana, someone who makes a nether not to receive hana, would not be allowed to take that extra amount. And even if it's something like we talked about previously, something that he was trying to get rid of, so really you're kind of doing him a benefit by taking it off his hands, but nevertheless, you're still considered to be the beneficiary of that. Hilkach drusas regal aser, afagav de lo kaptiba, goes on to the next page, afagav de lo kaptiba inshi, aser b'mudr hana. And he just points out, just spells out, av rabbanan, there's a dissenting opinion of the rabbanan, the pligiale, the rabbanan argue on Rabbi Eliezer, this is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim, savri de kol eicha, they hold that kol eicha to lo aser alav ela hana aso, so long as when a person only asks hana, then hana of his friend on him, lo mikri hana, the kivin demid lo kaptiba inshi, havi, the Chacham understand, no, that's really not, because people don't care about it, that's not really considered to be hana. You have to, maybe if you have some more time, you can kind of, define that machlokas a little bit more. Basically, Chacham hold that because people don't really care about that little extra that people give over, so they don't consider that to be hana. As Rabbi Eliezer considers that to be, no, nevertheless, you are receiving hana. And the high demand item for sure. Maybe, right. Maybe, I'm not sure. Yeah, high demand item if you're paying for it. Yeah, right. That might be true. Maybe true. And with respect to halacha, who we paskin, like the Ran at the end points out, our Mishnah seems, because anytime you have a stam Mishnah that doesn't define who exactly the halacha is like, and we say that the Mishnah is referring to Rabbi Eliezer, even though the Mishnah doesn't point out it's Rabbi Eliezer, so the Mishnah seems to be siding when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi just quoted a Mishnah without defining who the author of the Mishnah was, we typically pass it like that Mishnah. So ostensibly the halacha, or there's a machlokas rishonim, but many rishonim understand that the halacha will be like Rabbi Eliezer, and then even that little extra amount, which people are not don't care about, would be considered to be a hana benefit, at least with respect to, certainly with respect to nadar. Okay, continues the final line on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Hamudr macha mechavero, if a person makes a neder not to receive food benefit from his friend, lo yashilana, so we said you're not allowed to borrow from him a napa, the kiver, v'rechayim, different types of food preparation items. The Gemara asks, this is a question that David was asking before, min machal nader. But the person made the neder not to essentially take food from his friend. This is not food. You're using things that are preparing food, but you made a neder not to take food. This is not food. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, but Omer hanoas macholcha alai. So we understand it to mean when he says hanoas machol. I think the way the Rishonim understand this is that if you wanted to just ask for food, if you just wanted to prohibit his food, so you just would have said that your food is asar to me. The fact that he said hanoas macholcha, we understand it to mean that it's as if, I think it's as if he said it, or maybe he said it explicitly, that hanoas macholcha alai, it's the benefit of your food, or benefit that essentially, really, more correctly, the benefit that leads to food would be usher to me. And we'll see exactly what that means. It'll include other things as well. So the Gemara asks, if you're saying that it's benefit, that's how we interpret the Mishnah, that it doesn't just mean that your food is usher, it means that benefit that leads to food, which will include these utensils that are used to, again, prepare food. The Gemara says, Ema, maybe it doesn't mean things that are... Well, the Gemara is going to now try to limit it, really, not to things that are external to the food. The Gemara is going to try and say, why do you have to go that far with your Chiddush? Maybe it's really things that are actually directly related to the food, not things that are used to prepare the food. But Ema shelo yilos chitin v'yitin amakasa. Maybe it means not only can't you derive, obviously, benefit from the food when you're eating it, but maybe even other usages of the actual food item itself. That they used to use chew up wheat and put it on their wounds as some sort of cure, or maybe just as a bandage or something like that. So maybe you would say that even that type of benefit from the food, even though you're not consuming the food, but you're using it for some other purpose, maybe that would be included in what you're saying. So therefore, that's the addition, and not to add even things that are preparing food. So Gemara says no. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, "Be'omer hanoa hamivia l'idei ma'acholcha alai." No, even more specifically, I don't think it means we interpret what he says. We assume that what he's saying is, or what he said in the Mishnah is, that's hanoa hamivia l'idei ma'acholcha alai. He's saying that I am preventing for myself benefit that brings about food. So that is more specific, and that obviously is going to include things that, again, are involved in the food preparation, like the napa, kiver, rechayim, etaner. All those things that are used in the food preparation are going to be us, and that's ultimately how we're going to understand the case of the Mishnah. So anytime we refer back to this Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, hamuder machal mechavero, it means hamuder machal in the sense that he says, it's usher to me, things that are used to prepare food. Obviously, food's going to be usher, and even things that are involved in the food preparation that are not necessary, that are what we call gorim, the gorim, even things that are used to prepare the food, and then you can still have to cook the food afterwards. Those things are going to be aser to borrow from your friend. Amar of Papa. So now the Gemara is going to try to define actually what is exactly, like how far do we go? How far exactly do we go? So Papa is going to push it a little bit. He's going to say, Sak lahavi peros. What about a basket to transport the food? V'chamar lahavi alav peros. Or a donkey, which is also used in the transport of the produce, vafilu tzina ba'amar, or even some sort of storage basket that's used to store the food so that it doesn't spoil or so that you have it readily available to eat, are those considered? Would you be allowed to borrow those types of things if you were made a nether not to receive food, specifically food benefit? Obviously, if you made a nether not to receive standard hana from your friend, that's considered to be a benefit, but what would that be included in this case? So he says, so by Rava, so Gemara is going to answer the question with another question. So by Rav Papa, so Rav Papa asks, we are now seven lines down on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. By Rav Papa, sus lirko v'lov, what about a horse to ride on, v'tabas lirospa, or a ring to be seen with, mahu? So what is the halacha? So those are, let me just find the run here. If you look down in the run, four lines down in the widest lines of the run, to the left, almost to the end of the line. Sus lirkovalov vitabas lirosba mifsaku mezel baare mai. Demi amrinon, do we say nihida kravas machol elov? Oh, 1 second. Let me speak this out because it can get a little confusing. These types of things, a person's essentially borrowing these things. Let's say he's going to a banquet or something. He's going somewhere to eat. So he wants to drive up in a fancy car, wear this fancy clothing, because he knows they're going to give him the VIP treatment and he's going to get a much better meal. They put him close to the kitchen. He's going to get a much better meal that way. So the question is, would he be allowed to borrow those types of things from you, knowing, and again, with the intention, obviously, if you were not borrowing them for just to go out somewhere and nothing to do with food, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem, but would he be allowed to borrow those types of things for you if we know that the result of it will be that he will receive more food? So you're causing about some sort of food benefit for him by allowing him to borrow those types of things. So the Mishnah wants to know, would you be allowed to borrow those types of things? So Mahu.
This question is also Neder related.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he's not getting food from the person he vowed about.
He's not getting food from me. Getting food, correct. He's getting food from someone else, but you're causing him to receive more food. Essentially, it's as if it's like if you gave him.
What if he borrows a spoon? Dig up something in the ground, then dig something up. He doesn't
want to. That would be fine, I think. Yeah, let's go. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to continue. That's just a short daf on the second side, but okay. Then the Gemara asks, and the Gemara continues its question. Mahu. So mifsaku meza ba'aramai. What about also walking through his field to get to the food faster? He's not walking. This is not talking about the walking to the field that we said recess harego, where a person just people don't care about. You're just walking through his field, taking a shortcut. This you're taking a shortcut. You're using his field as a path to get to your food. What is the halacha in that case? Again, the novelty in these cases is that whereas before we were acting on the food itself, here we're really acting on the person himself. We're bringing the food person closer. We're benefiting the person so that he is in a position where he'll receive more food. So maybe that's an even greater chiddush. So tashma. So the Gemara is going to bring a proof to this question. How far do we go? Avol mashalo choluk vitalis nizame vitabos. So our Mishnah says that you're allowed to borrow from him a choluk, a talis, nizame vitabos. And tabos is a case that we're talking about over here, that you're borrowing a ring. So you see the Mishnah says you can borrow a ring from him, and we don't consider that to be a food benefit. So the Gemara says, Hechi dami. So what is the case of the Mishnah? Does the Mishnah mean, Ilem el shalo liros behem, if the Mishnah just means to tell us that you're not using them for this benefit where you're gonna try and receive more food benefit by going to the party with the fancy ring, so that if that's not the case, and it just means a regular cloak, talis, nizamim, the tabos, just to borrow those, unrelated to food. So then, tzricha lememar, would the Mishnah have to tell us that halacha? Obviously, you're allowed to borrow those things. Those things have nothing to do with food. It must be el alav afil liras behem. The Mishnah must mean that even if you were borrowing them with the intent of using them to receive some food benefit, the Mishnah is telling us nevertheless you are allowed to borrow them because they're too far removed from how we interpret your neder. So Gemara says v'katani mashilon. You see, in the Mishnah says that you are allowed to borrow those. So that should answer our question. So the Gemara answers no. Lo, la'olam shelo liros. Really, the Mishnah is telling us, talking about a case, the Mishnah adds these halachos, even when you're not using them to benefit yourself for food. So then the question returns, why does the Mishnah have to list them? They're obvious. So Gemara says, v'aydi ketani reisha, lo yashilanu tana seifa mashilo. So it's really just for symmetry. Because the beginning of the Mishnah says, these are the types of things that you cannot borrow, so the Mishnah adds, just throws in other things that you can borrow. It throws in other things that you can borrow from him, even though those things would not have necessarily thought those things would be usher anyways. Okay, that's how the Gemara wants to interpret the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah continues on Lama Gimel Lama Aleph. V'chol davar she'ein osin ba'ochel nefesh. So all these things that v'chol davar she'ein osin ba'ochel nefesh makam shemaskiren kiyotz behem aser. So even the things that are not used for ochel nefesh purposes. So we said that a person who makes a nether not to receive food benefit from his friend would be allowed to borrow kalim, like a hammer, something that has nothing to do with ochel nefesh at all, you'd be allowed to borrow those things from a person. However, our Mishnah says, if you're in an area where it was typical for people to rent out those items, if you borrow his car, people would rent out a car, or they rent out different things that they own. So in areas where they would rent those out, you would not be allowed to borrow from him. And the Gemara is going to explain. Well, the reason for it being is that if he gives it to you without you having to pay for it, you are ultimately profiting from that and would be able to use those monies to purchase food. So therefore, that would become aser. The Gemara asks, Michal de Resha, Afal pi she'ein maskirin. So the implication from our Mishnah here is that the Resha's case, when the Resha was talking about, when the previous Mishnah talked about borrowing, let's say, the Napa, the Kivra, Rechayim, Vetaner, those types of things, that the implication is that those types of things are even if you did not lend those out, even if those were not rented, items that were not rented out, you would be allowed to borrow those from the person. The question is, who is that Tana? Who is the Tana? Meaning, if our Mishnah says that we're talking about cases, if our Mishnah is pointing out that we're referring to items that a person usually rents, there are items, obviously, in the previous Mishnah that even if you didn't, because there are items in the previous Mishnah that we said are usher, and the Mishnah did not qualify whether or not those are rented items or not. So even if those items, like the napa, the kivra, the things that are used in food preparation, even those types of things that are not rented out, those are still going to be usher because those are, again, used in the food preparation. So we want to know, man tana, who exactly is the tana of the Mishnah that holds that those types of benefits, even if you're not benefiting essentially from money, you're not benefiting monetarily where you can purchase food, these are just items that a person's borrowing. So Mantana Amar of Adabar Ava Rabbi Eliezer hi. Again, that is in line with the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which we saw before, who holds that Vitor is Asur Bibud Hana, even things that are not considered to be full benefits, a person, meaning things that are just, that other people would say is not really a benefit because people don't really care about it. And this is a little bit different than that case because this is even more removed because this is an item which a person's lending out to you. The fact that people don't rent it and the fact that people are willing to just give it over to someone else to borrow shows that it's not really a tremendous benefit for, that they're not really benefiting from you all that much because people don't, if he'd be benefiting from you, he would give you something that ordinarily maybe he would rent out. The fact that he just gives you over something to borrow is not considered to be a benefit. The Mepharshim do ask, we already learned previously that Rabbi Eliezer was a Tana of a Mishnah. Why are we pointing it out now from the Sefer again? I think it's maybe the Rush. I don't remember which one of the Rishonim. So he said, really, this is the primary. Tosus. Tosus, in the beginning of the parak, has another way. The Tosus asks, like, you could have interpreted the Mishnah a different way so that it sided even with the Rahabanan that argue in Rabbi Eliezer. So he says the ultimate, the more concrete proof, really, is from this part of the Mishnah. So that's what the Tosus points out. Okay. The final Mishnah on Lama Gimon Amun Aleph. Okay. Hamuder hana mechavero. If a person makes a neder not to receive hana from his friend, shokel lo es shiklo, upareya es chovo, umachser lo es avedasa. So you say, Reuven says, I'm not going to derive benefit from Shimon. Shimon now is allowed to pay off his shekel, the machasis of shekel that he used to collect for the communal karbanos. So you'd be allowed to pay his share of the machasis of shekel. Uporeya Skovo and Shimon would be allowed to pay Reuven's chov. He would allow to be pay off a creditor of Reuven's and pay off that chov. Umachzerlo Savidaso, and also Shimon would be allowed to return Reuven's aveda. And the Gemara is going to explain why exactly that is. One second. Yeah. So, and the Mishnah finishes off, Makam Shen Notlun Alas, Umachsel Alas Avedasa, and continuing on the case of Machsel Avedasa, Makam Shen Notlun Alas Schar, Tipal Hana Ala Hekdish. There were areas, there were places that the custom was when a person returned an Aveda, so they would pay him for it. There's a certain amount of lost wages a person incurs when he has to return an Aveda, goes out of his way typically to have to return the Aveda, so there were places that instituted that you would essentially pay him for that time off that a person invested in returning your Aveda. So in areas where he would be paid for that service, let's say he decides to forego that service. Let's say Shimon says, I don't want to take the money. So therefore Shimon is benefiting now from, Reuven is benefiting from Shimon, because Shimon, besides the fact that he returned his Aveda, that's not really a real benefit because you own it anyways. But he's benefiting now because Shimon is saying, I'm not taking that payment, so therefore Reuven is benefiting from Shimon. So what Reuven would do in that case is he would just give that money, he would give that money anyways to Hektish. He would give that money to Hektish, so therefore he's not really benefiting because he's paying that money anyways, he's just giving it to Tzedakah. Okay, so starts the Gemara. So Alma, Avruchei Ariba Almahu. So the reason why the Mishnah says that you're allowed to pay off his shekel, pay off his chov, return as, well, really the first two cases primarily, but or also return as aveda, avruchei ariba alma. The way we understand that to mean, when a person pays off these chovos, when a person pays off the shekel, you're not benefiting him because the way we understand what he's doing is he's merely fending off, it's like fending off a lion. There's someone coming to collect the money from you, so he's really... it's like being misalik, just setting aside the person who is collecting, coming to collect from you, whether it be Hektish who's collecting the shekel, or whether it be a Baal Chov who's collecting his Chov. So when you're paying them off, you're not directly benefiting the person, it's a more indirect benefit. You're really just holding someone at bay, rather than giving him a direct benefit. The Shari. So you see that we consider these cases to be a case of like Avruchei Ari. Like if you just, somebody, if a lion was coming to attack someone, you chase the lion away. So you're benefiting the person indirectly, but you're not, I guess we don't consider that to be, with respect to these halachos, to be considered a benefit for him. So Man Tana. So who exactly is the Tana that holds of that opinion that when you're, that's how we look at it. So Amar Rav Hoshea says, Zu Devrei Chanani. This is the opinion of Chanan. And the Gemara is going to quote the case of Chanan shortly. We actually saw this in Kesubas. It's a case where someone goes away to Medinas Hayam and someone else steps in and is mefarnes and supports the person's wife. So there's a machlokas in the halacha whether or not the person supporting the wife can go back to the husband and request payment or demand payment for his all of the monies that he expended in support of this person's wife who went away. So it's the opinion of our Mishnah is the opinion of Chanan. Rava Amar. So Rava says afilu tema divrei akol. It doesn't only have to be in accordance. Our Mishnah does not only have to accord with the opinion of Chanan. It can even accord with the shita of everyone, even the people the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, which we're going to see in a minute. It's also going to, it can also be in line with their opinion. A few times there I call, Gabi Mudahana the Yav Amanashalolafra. Why? How would it follow the opinion of the people who argue on Chanan? Again, Chanan is of the opinion that if a person supports, if a person goes away and someone else steps in to support his wife, so that person can go ahead to the husband and demand payment. The Chachamim will argue and say, no, it's like you're just essentially just throwing away your money. You're never going to see that money. You're never going to see that money back. So you see from Chanan that... 1 second. Let me just quote the Mishnah first so that we'll see it. I'm sorry. So Gemar says, "My Chanan, who's the opinion of Chanan? The Tanan, Mishalach Medina Sayyam. If someone goes to Medina Sayyam, Va'aman Echad Upinas Esisho, and someone gets up and is Mefarnes and supports his wife, so Chanan Omer. I'm sorry. Yeah, Chanan. I'm sorry. It's the opposite of what I said before. I should have gone through the Mishnah immediately. Chanan says, Mishalach Medina Sayyam, Va'aman Echad Upinas Esisho. Someone goes to Medina Sayyam, and someone else gets up and is Mefarnes and supports his wife. Chanan Omer." So Chanan holds that you have lost your money. I'm sorry. So that's obviously in line with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if you essentially are helping a person, the person's not benefiting from you because you're just kind of operating on your own. You're not really benefiting the person. So here also, you're not considered to be benefiting the person. Chanan says that you're just throwing away your money. So Nechaku Allah B'nei Kohanim Gedolim. The B'nei Kohanim Gedolim argue on Chanan V'amru, and they say Yishava Kama Hotzi. So you can take a shvua exactly and keep count of exactly how much you've spent, v'yitol, and you would be allowed to demand that money back from the husband. So Amar Rav Dosa, the Mishnah continues. Amar Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus kedivreim. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Amar Rav Dosav and Horkanis Kedivrayim. So Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yafa Amar Chanan. So Chanan, what Chanan says is actually, in fact, true. Heniach Ma'osav al Karen Tzvi. So just Rav Yochanan is coming, ben Zakkai is coming in support of Chanan, saying that what Chanan says is true. When Chanan says that you've lost your money, Ibid es ma'osav. So he says, yes, that in fact is in fact true. It's as if you place your money on the horn of a tzvi, and the tzvi is going to run away. And you're never going to be able to. You're never going to be able to see that money back. So now the Gemara wants to know why we have two different approaches to the Mishnah. So Rav Hoshea says that the Mishnah is only following the opinion of Chanan. Rava reinterprets essentially the Mishnah. Rava reinterprets the Mishnah to be talking about a case where the person says that I'm borrowing money with the condition that I really don't have to repay you. I really don't have to repay you. So therefore, when the person steps in and repays your loan, he's really not benefiting you at all because you never have to pay it. So therefore, everyone would agree in our case, even the people who agree that when you step in and pay someone else's chov, that you can go ahead and collect his money, in this case, you've done me no favors. I didn't have to pay this in the first place. So then even the Chacham will agree, in this case, in this type of case, where Rava is reinterpreting the case of the Mishnah, where the conditions of the loan were that basically he said, you don't really have to, you can pay me whatever you want. And it was completely open-ended where you essentially almost... The way we understand that to mean is that he wasn't being makpid on your repayment. So therefore, when a person steps in and pays you, even the Chachamim would typically agree when a person steps in, or the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, when a person steps in as Mefarnes someone else's wife, they could go ahead and collect those monies. The Chachamim will agree in this case that because you specified that, because the loan conditions were such that the Lova didn't have to repay the Malva, so when you go ahead and make the payment, you're not benefiting him in any way because he wasn't going to have to make that payment anyways. So the question now the Gemara has is why does Rav Hoshea specifically say that the case of the Mishnah is only going according to the Shita of Chanan, and why does Rava go out of his way to include everyone, to include even the Chachamim, and therefore makes a new Kimta and says that the Mishnah is talking about a specific case where the conditions of the loan were not obvious conditions, but maybe a little bit different. So Gemara says, Rava lo amakar Rav Hoshea. So Rava does not follow the line of thinking of Rav Hoshea, the kamukin lamasis and kedivir akol, because Rava wanted to establish a Mishnah according to each opinion, and that's often what them. And even I think though we paskin like, even though we paskin like Rav Hoshea, I'm sorry, even though we paskin like Chanan, I think still, it would be a benefit for Rava to say that our Mishnah is going according to every opinion. That's what the Gemara tries to do. That even that we try to make our Mishnayos follow all of the opinions. That's why Rava doesn't say Likrav Hoshea, because again, Rava wanted to establish a Mishnah not only according to Chanan, even according to B'nai Kohanim Genolim, according to all Shitas, the Shita of Chanan, who holds that it's like you're you're throwing away your money, or even according to the Shita of the Chachamim, who hold that you can collect the payment. So why Rav Hoshea lo amakar Rava? Why doesn't Rav Hoshea agree to Rava's case? So this is a little bit more. I'll try and explain this. So Rav Hoshea said that our Mishnah only goes according to the Shita of Chanan. According to the Chachamim, let me just speak this out. According to the Chachamim, there is a case where the Chachamim would hold that you would be deriving benefit. What's that case? When would you be deriving benefit? Meaning Chanan holds in this type of scenario where you're just essentially paying off a creditor, that's not considered to be ana. The Chachamim hold in a standard case, that would be considered to be ana. When you're paying off a creditor, you're ultimately deriving benefit. The Chachamim understand that is a case of benefit. Except, Rava wanted to say that our Mishnah is talking about a specific case that even the Chachamim will agree to, a case where the conditions of the loan were such that I didn't have to pay him back in the first place. So the fact that you're stepping in now and paying off my loan is not a benefit for me because I didn't have to pay it. So the Gemara answers that the reason Rav Hoshea did not like that, did not want to interpret the Mishnah in that type of case, was because often when the Chachamim made a gezerah, so they didn't want to, if cases were too similar, they wanted to make essentially a blanket iser. Because the cases are similar, they basically wanted to say that because in one case where you didn't make these specific conditions, because in where you didn't make the specific condition that you don't have to repay me, the Chacham hold that you would be deriving benefit from us. So they wanted to say that all types of cases of loans, I don't care about the specifics of the loans. I don't care if there's, you're going to tell me one specific case where you said that I'm not going to have to repay you. That case, you're not getting a benefit. So therefore, maybe we would say in that type of case, you'd be allowed to pay it off. They just said a blanket statement. You are not allowed to pay off loans. For if somebody pays off, if somebody makes a neder not to receive hana from you, you cannot pay off his loan because there are going to be cases where he is benefiting from you. So therefore, we said it's always us. Okay. Hope that was clear. Machzer lo. So the Mishnah said, the Mishnah had said previously, machzer lo es avedasa, that you're allowed to return his aveda. Again, if Reuven makes a neder not to receive benefit from Shimon, so Shimon, the Mishnah said, is allowed to return Reuven's item. And the Gemara is now going to explain exactly what are the parameters of that halacha. So pligiba Rav Ami Rav Asi. So the machlokes between Rav Ami Rav Asi. Chad Amar, one is of the opinion, so lo shanu, that we didn't learn this halacha of the Mishnah, that you can return as aveda. Ela b'shenichse machzer asurin al-bal aveda. Only when the returners, nechasim, are usher on the bal aveda. So Reuven is the bal aveda. Shimon is the machzer. So when the nechasim of Shimon are usher on Reuven, the bal aveda. Why? Dechi mahaderle, why do we allow him to return it? Meidam denafshei kamahader. Why? Because when you're returning it, you're just returning his item. Meaning, he's not benefiting from you, because when you, Shimon, now are bringing back his item, you're just returning his item. However, in the flip side case, he lost it, yeah, but you're not giving him any new benefit. You're not giving him any new benefit. Maybe is it. You're not giving him any new benefit that he didn't have before. He benefited from this item. He now has access to the item, maybe, but that's not considered to be. I understand your question, yeah, but I think they. I think I saw some of the version I speak out that there's no new accrued benefit. It's just you're just giving him access to a benefit that previously he had. So meidam denafshei kamahadle avol nichse bal aveda asurin ala machzer. But let's say the flip side. So here Shimon's stuff was usher on Reuven. What about if Reuven's stuff was usher on Shimon? So Reuven's hana was usher on Shimon. So then lo kamahadle. Then Shimon would not be allowed to return Reuven's lost item back to him. Why? The kamahanile pruta de Rav Yosef, because he would be nena. Shimon would be receiving a benefit from Reuven in returning Reuven's item. Shimon, the returner, is receiving a benefit. What is the benefit that he's returning? If an ani comes to him while he's returning it, we say osik b'mitzvah pater mina mitzvah. If in the process of when he is actively, I should speak this out. Only obviously, if it's sitting in your house and you're waiting for the returner to him, you're not pater from mitzvahs. But so long as you are involved in the returning of this item so long as Shimon is involved in returning this item to Reuven, so he is benefiting in the sense that if an ani were to approach him while he was doing this mitzvah, we would say technically he would be pater from that mitzvah. So that's what we would say. That's considered to be pruta. That's how the Gemara elsewhere refers to that as pruta de Rav Yosef. I think that's the smallest amount you can give over as tzedakah, so that's considered to be pruta de Rav Yosef, so you would not have to pay that pruta. So therefore, if Shimon was not allowed to be derived benefit from Reuven, and Shimon is returning Reuven's item, so in Shimon returning Reuven's item, he's benefiting in the sense that he can absolve himself of the mitzvah of tzedakah while so long as he's actively in the process of returning it. Chadamer and the other opinion, so we said there was the machlokas between Rav Ami and Rav Asi, whether or not both of these cases there's going to be a distinction between who's Aser Bahana. Is it Reuven that's Hana is Aser and Shimon, or Shimon and Aser is Aser and Reuven? The other opinion, V'chad Amar, Afilo Nichsev Al Aveda Aser and Amachzer, even in this case where Shimon, the returner, is not allowed to derive benefit from Reuven, the Bal Aveda, Mahadila, you would be allowed to return it, Umishim Pruta Dor Yosef Lo Shriach. And you'll say, oh, aren't you benefiting from him with respect to the Pruta of Yosef? So we say that since the Pruta of Yosef is a very uncommon circumstance, because the Pruta of Yosef is really a very uncommon circumstance, we're not going to consider that to be included in that's not considered to be a real Hana, and therefore you would be allowed to return it.
Yeah. 6:35. Who's doing tomorrow?